Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
If you're interested in learning how to become a strong male leader, you need to listen to this next guest.
Check it out. Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, who are my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, Rich Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Sporting the sweatshirt today. I like it, bro. How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good, but I'm going to call you out on there. I don't think your mic's hooked up correctly, so I'm going to give you a minute to do that. We're going to keep moving on because we're not waiting for you, Gino. You get your shit together, you get out. All right? That's how we're rolling today. So I'm always making it happen. Our guest today is an entrepreneur, investor, best-selling author, speaker, and high-performance coach. Today, he's going to share his invaluable insights to help you achieve success on your own terms. So without further ado, Richard Cooper, welcome to the show.
That's an incredible intro. I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks.
Hey, it's what we do around here. So let's get to know each other a little bit. Tell us about your background and how you got started in business.
How I got started in business, take you back about 20 years. I took a package in the credit and collection world. They sent me home and I took a look around at some job offers and what was happening. And I didn't want to line other people's pockets with gold and put up with the corporate nonsense. So I created my own debt negotiation business, which is still running to this day, 20 years later. I think we've probably eliminated well over about $750 million of consumer credit card debt. Thousands of Canadian consumers are free and clear. And that was the main play. Then I sort of pivoted into YouTube as a content creator, and that led to the book and a bunch of other stuff that I'm doing today, which is about 500 million video views.
So Jake, we have another unemployable guest, which is great. He can only work for himself.
I can't work for anybody, man. It's just not happening, especially in today's modern culture where they start to cram everything down your throat, to comply with wokeness and this, that, and the other thing. I'm good. I'm doing my own thing.
Bend the knee and let the indoctrination happen, my friend. Never. Just take it. Take it Never. Like a man.
I'm good. I'd rather be broke living on a beach in Thailand, man. I'm good.
So, Richard, how was it first starting out? I mean, you're working for somebody else. Take me back to that time when you first start working for yourself. You're unemployed, but you're like, I got nothing else. This better work because I ain't going to work for the man.
You know, that played a big part in my success, I think, is I had to make it work. Like, failure was not an option. I talk to a lot of guys that I consult with, and I have a training course for young entrepreneurs. It's called the School of Entrepreneurship. And it basically gets their head screwed on right to help them figure out what the best entrepreneurs do to create highly profitable, independent, like location independent type of businesses with subscription revenue. And there's always those.
You said location independent. Define that for me.
You can run it from anywhere in the world. Got so it. I can run it from here. I can pick up my laptop, put it in a backpack, hop on a flight, and I can run it from Australia if I want to, basically.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of guys that are doing something, but they're also trying to run the side hustle. Like, they're trying to make their startup their side hustle, and there's not enough energy that I see that's put into it. Like, they don't take it as seriously as a guy that doesn't have a job. Like, when I took that package and went home, they gave me 15 grand. I didn't want to fight them on it. I was probably entitled to more. It was like, I'll just take and get the hell out of here and figure out what the next move is. But after a couple months and you're starting to burn through the cash and you got a mortgage to pay and expenses, that's when shit really gets serious and you really have to make it work. And I just made it work, man. It was like one of those things where, you know, how many hours a week do you work? It's like, you just don't count. Like, you just wake up, you work, you go to sleep, you do it again until things start to work and money's coming in.
How did you pivot from total debt freedom to writing the book, The Unplugged Alpha? I mean, that's a span of, I guess, a couple decades. How did
sounds like toxic masculinity, Gino. I'm kind of getting uncomfortable here. I think you just triggered me. All right.
Yeah. It's apparently very toxic, to some people. Their fifis get hurt very easily. That's a great question. So I just didn't want to continue to run my debt relief business on a day-to-day business anymore. A day-to-day basis. You guys have probably heard of the term red pilling, and you know, it's becoming more and more common today. You've even seen guys like Elon Musk use it on, you know, Twitter at some point.
But what does it mean to you? So that, you know, for the folks that maybe haven't heard it, can you define that for us to the best of your ability?
It's unplugging from society's lies, you know, culture, society, religion, education, marketing, Hollywood. They sell you a bill of sales. It's simply not true. Like at some point, guys come to the realization that, you know, what they were told, and I'll use one simple example. So something like marriage, you know, for example, any guy that's been through the divorce machine understands that women aren't necessarily sugar and spice and all things nice. And that if you take your vows and, you know, promise to be together forever with one another in sickness and health and, you know, rich or poor and all that sort of stuff, at some point, guys, or 50% of the guys will go through the divorce grinder and they'll learn, well, that's not entirely true. And women do care about your success. And if you stop chasing excellence, mm-hmm. then she might stop looking at you as the apple of her eye sort of thing. So that's what a red pilling moment is. And I think
and it's from the Matrix, right? It was like, yeah, a Matrix. Yeah.
It's like one of those things that like the underground community sort of pulled from the Matrix and they made it their own lingo, like red pill, blue pill sort of thing. And I think there was three events that sort of red pilled me that led up to the book, The Unplugged Alpha. And the first one was me going through my own divorce roughly 3 years after my marriage. Then it was a lobbying effort that I dealt with in Ontario here in Canada, because there was legislation that credit card companies and banks pushed through to essentially eliminate the debt negotiation industry. And then the third thing was after I got divorced, I got tied up with a woman that was also divorced with a couple kids in tow. And a lot of the things that I thought, you know, my entire life just kept getting beaten down. It's like, okay, she's violated that, you know, she's betrayed me here and there sort of thing. It's like one thing after another, you have to come to the realization and stop pointing the finger at other people and blame yourself for the results that you get. And the book itself is really just a collection of some life experiences that I went through where I made my wounds my work.
So what mistakes were you making? Because you it sounds like, if I'm hearing you correctly, you attracted, and I don't want to misstate here, but it sounded like you said you attracted two of the wrong partners, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's actually a very good place to start. So definitely chose the wrong wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a bad woman, just not a good woman for me.
And not you're owning that.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, same thing with the lady that I dated after I got divorced.
Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't your current wife and I was, got it.
No,
okay,
no,
perfect.
No. Yeah. No, like guys make incredibly bad choices when it comes to relationships. And that's one of the things my book deals with a lot, and it helps sort of get guys' heads squared away properly. It's one of the reasons why a lot of my coaching comes from some very high net worth individuals that have either dealt with problem women in their lives. They're very successful in business. Like one of the things I've noticed about entrepreneurs is you can be a weapon in your business, build something that's phenomenal, generate huge amounts of revenue, hire lots of people, solve big problems in the world, but suck in their personal life, like allow an absolute disaster to run them, right? So these are the sorts of things that I help guys with, you know, getting their head squared away with.
I think it's also interesting because you hear a lot about, there's like the gender gap and this male dominance over society and all these things. And I've heard some, you know, recent discussions on this where the wealth, regardless of male or female, is probably concentrated to the very top. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that guys are going through every day, like we have a property management company, right? Mm-hmm. And these guys are out there grinding and doing some very challenging work throughout the day. So it's interesting to see how this thing has morphed into, okay, there's probably some bad actors out there that are doing some, you know, negative things. But also a lot of guys are getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning, going out, doing the shit work that no one else wants to do. And we're saying that guy is privileged. Meanwhile, he's out there humping it, you know, and the work, I'm saying, like he's out there humping the job to provide for his family and do the right thing. And I just don't see how that is living this life of privilege and dominance. It's almost, you know, a life of service to me. And that's the thing where I think we're getting crossed up these days.
Yeah, there was a male feminist, his name's Dr. Warren Farrell, that I think lobbied for close to 15 to 20 years for women's rights, was the only male member elected to a board of a feminist organization. And I think he realized, if I'm not mistaken, about halfway into his career, that men aren't actually the privileged sex. It's women that are privileged and women that are protected. And it's kind of been all that way, you know.
And I'm good with that as a man. And that's probably sexist to say. Like, I don't know what's okay. But like,
I want to be the man. Like, I want to protect, provide, but I also want to preside too. The problem in today's world is guys still have responsibility to family and their wife, but they don't have any authority. And when you're in a position where you have responsibility without any authority, then that's a position of slavery.
That's very well articulated.
Yeah. And
fantastic.
How we got there is, you know, just something that took several decades of, I think, society softening, men becoming weaker, testosterone levels lowering, women being sold this bill of goods by toxic feminism, where they've been told that, you know, you don't need no man, or you need a man like a fish needs a bicycle sort of thing. And they've been told to put off having families, getting married, finding a top shelf sort of virtuous guy and, you know, contributing to family and society in that way in their 20s. And now you have a very, very large contingent of women in their late 30s or even 40s. You know, you see them out there on dating sites where they're looking for their equal, where they've got their 3 or 4 degrees, they're framed in mahogany on their wall, they make great money, well into 6 figures, and they just can't find a guy that wants to be with them. But what they've done is they've created themselves, they basically turned themselves into men. You know, they went and looked at what they thought was attractive, and because toxic feminism sold them that lie, that you have to go and do all these things, then they come to the realization at some point where they hit this wall and they're like, wow, guys don't want me, or I'm having a hard time finding a guy that I can see
but,
as
but
my
look
equal.
At the numbers. I've also seen statistics that say that the guys over 30 who are not married, that are, you know, over 5'10 or 5'11 or something like that, it's like maybe a quarter of 1% or something. You're literally trying to find something that doesn't exist at that point in your life. So
yeah, that's
it's
one of the problems.
Impossible.
Is they have this overly entitled sense of worth, where they think that there's this coin, this term that was coined. I remember I was at this dinner party once about 10 or 15 years ago. I was single at the time, and one of the guy's wives, you know, said to me, like, "Why are you single, Rich? Like, you got the 6'6"s." And I said to her, "Well, what's that? I'd never heard of that."
Wait, you said 6'6"s?
6'6"s, yeah.
And, I can't wait for this. I have no idea what's coming.
Okay, so the 6'6"s, as you know, as the gals portrayed, and I think these women, they were probably early 40s at the time. You know, the typical gals, you know, with the wine glasses and their hair and the makeup all done, with a couple of guys sitting around in the corner, and the guys are going on about happy wife, happy life sort of thing. And the 6'6"s were purportedly 6 feet tall, 600 horsepower cars, 600 horsepower cars, 6-figure income, 6-pack abs, 6 inches in the pants. And I think the last one was 6 months out of a relationship. Right. So it's
that,
like,
last
okay.
one's hard to find.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, here's the thing. Like, even if you use the 6 foot tall metric, and we know that women are looking for taller guys. I mean, like, even if, you know, you look at dating apps, they almost always explicitly state looking for a tall guy or must be over 6 foot. In some cases, even 6'2". If you Google the stats, the amount of men in North America that are over 6'2" is less than, I think, 4%. The amount of men that are over 6 foot, I think, is less than something like 15%. The average height for a guy today is about 5'8", 5'9". So when the vast majority of the female population sets that very high standard, and then you set aside the other 5'6"s, which seem to be very important to them as well, you start running into problems where there's all these single ladies today, right? So there's a lot of very complex issues sort of intermingling and colliding in the sexual marketplace today when it comes to relationships and love.
Rich, what problems, what mistakes do young entrepreneurs make when they're trying to get into a relationship that you see, that you've working with guys?
Very simple. She's pretty. She touched my pee-pee. I'm going to date her or marry her or invite her into my life.
Sold.
Right? Like, guys are very, very simple, right? It's like, oh, right? You know, she's giving me attention. She's responding to my texts.
Yeah.
You know, she'll go out with me and have dinner sort of thing. But women are a lot more complex than that. And men are never taught, you know, the reality of what women actually respond to, right? We're just taught to shut up, get your head down, get to work, make the money, you know, provide for family, pay your taxes, all that good stuff. Cut your lawn, you know, just be a good man sort of thing, right? So guys don't really understand the reality of what women are actually about. So one of the big problems that I see a lot of guys run into, and I've sort of distilled it down to this phrase, would chase excellence, not women, is guys, especially when they get into longer term type of relationships, that's when you see guys put on weight. They might start to get lazy. One of the main complaints that you hear from a lot of married women is, I just don't see him the same way as I did before. And if you get lazy in a relationship, you don't sort of move up the corporate ladder, you don't improve yourself, you don't maintain a certain standard of health and the optics of masculinity and strength, you know, it's not uncommon for a lot of married guys to be sitting around with Cheeto dust on their chin or their shirt watching sports for hours.
But that's Homer Simpson. That's what every man has portrayed these days. It's gross.
And that's one of the lies that society has sold us, is just sit around. As long as you get married and take your vows, you can just sit around and do nothing, right? You know, with your past time in the evening. It's total bullshit. Guys have to chase excellence. The burden of performance is on men. Men are success objects. This is one of the things that...
He's getting me fired up, Gino. Like, I'm about to do push-ups right now.
So this is one of the things that Dr. Warren Farrell talked about in his book. He has a book called The Myth of Male Power. And guys are viewed as success objects to women. So you must maintain a certain degree of the pursuit of excellence in your life as a guy if you want to keep a woman or keep women around you in your life. Women, on the other hand, are beauty objects to men. Men know that women don't generally share their pot of gold with them, right? So there's a small contingent of guys that are like, oh, I'm looking for a sugar mama sort of thing. But women typically marry across and up. So because they're hypergamous, they want to find the guy that's the better, bigger, better deal than him. So very, very common for a, you know, CTO making $250,000 a year to wife up Becky the hairdresser making $40,000 a year. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, if women weren't hypergamous.
And you're saying in that instance, Becky's hot and that's what did it for the guy.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was hot. You know, she returned my text. She touched my peepee. So we got into the long-term relationship. And most guys don't have an abundance mindset. They don't have experience with women. They don't understand, you know, the reality of what women respond to, why they leave men, why they choose men, and all that sort of stuff. So I deal with a lot of that in my videos now on YouTube and my book and, you know, so on and so forth.
You're like Will Smith in that movie where he was like the dating expert or something. What was that? Hitch,
except for Will Smith is a dork and really doesn't live his life correctly. I mean, look what he allowed to happen to himself. You know, he let his emotions get the better of himself. And he walked up on a stage and punched one of his friends right in the face. He lets his wife go out and bang his son's best friend.
Okay, stop. Keep it right there. Is that not, okay, from a subconscious, psycho, whatever perspective, to me, watching this from the outside, I have no idea what's going on in his personal life. I feel bad for him for what happened. Do we not all believe that that's why that happened? Like his wife's doing things that he's clearly not comfortable with. Mm. And he eventually the guy's out there, Chris Rock's talking shit. The guy snaps. He was probably so pent up and pissed off because he's living his life one way. His wife is living another. And he looks like an asshole after he's the quote unquote epitome of success. And the dude breaks. I mean, is that I'm not a psychiatrist, but it looks pretty clear to me.
That's the behavior of the average male today. You know, they don't have standards. They don't have control over their emotions, and they allow their women to do obnoxious things like sleep with their son's best friend, right? Like what guy 20 years ago would say, yeah, cuckoldry is absolutely acceptable in my house. It bothers men. There's no time in history where men accepted letting their woman sleep with other men. But it's only today, like you take a look at media outlets and they're trying to normalize the pussification of the Western male, right? Oh, you know, just look the other way when she runs around, you know, behind your back, because if guys are doing it, then women should do it too, right? So there's all these sort of lies that are perpetrated in society that are getting amplified, and it's demasculizing men and it's masculizing women. I don't think it's good overall for the direction that we're heading in, but that's just the reality of the world that we live in today.
I have so many questions. Oof. So for me,
you guys want to buckle in for the real deep stuff? Let's keep diving down.
No, but when you get hit in the gut, sometimes you got to take a step back. No, but I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, but for me, it's real simple. I'm a Christian, believe in God. There's no mention of God anymore. There's no expectations. There's no forever. There's no long-termism left anymore. There's no let's work this thing out anymore. It's everyone cut bait. There's a lot of things that are going on other than just men screwing up. I think when a man looks for a woman, where are values? Values-based decision-making. When you get into a relationship, well, what are your values? Men don't even know what our values are. Like you said, touch pee-pee and get together. So there's so much more to it. I mean, I think as you're a male and you're young and you're thinking about this, what do you want your life to look like? When we got married, me and my wife, I have 6 children. We homeschool our kids. We got married. My wife already had the expectation of, I sort of want to stay home. You can go to work and I'll be in the background. I'll raise the kids. You know, as the kids got older, now we have the podcast together, we're working together. But that's what the expectation was when we got married. Not that, hey, I'm going to go out, become a lawyer, and we're going to have student debt. So I think all of you men out there, what is the expectation? When you start dating, what does it look like for you? I mean, do you want to comment on that? Because I think that's where the stepping stone is. What are your values and what are the expectation of this relationship?
Yeah, that's an interesting talking point from the sort of Christian, more or less like the traditional conservative sort of community. Like I've been married for 30 years. We've got six kids. I've talked to a few guys like that. And that social contract, you know, existed for a long, long time. And I think religion overall is probably, good for society. I think it's good for long-term marriages. It seems to be good for families and children. But the problem with it today is that that's another lie that's being perpetrated. So a very common thing that guys will start to see more and more on dating apps today. So you can take the average, 30-year-old guy that downloads Tinder or Bumble and starts to swipe, and he'll start looking at women his age or younger, you know, typically. And it's not that uncommon to see a pregnant gal on a dating app with another man's seed in her belly with two or three other children in tow from other men, claiming that she's gotten right with God, is looking for a man of God, and is in this for something serious now. Only an absolute fool and tool of society today would take that on. But the problem is that even things like religion are telling gals, well, as long as you get right with God, you'll be forgiven for your past sins or bad choices. And then, you know, here we are where they try to, you know, Christian mingle them up sort of thing. And we know, statistically speaking, that one of the worst choices a guy can make for a long-term relationship, or choosing the mother of his children, let's say, which is probably a better way to sort of distill it, because that's the whole point of marriage, really, is to raise a family and have children and pass on your name and your DNA sort of thing, is to find a woman that hasn't made bad choices in the past, meaning she hasn't been with a lot of guys. A woman with a notch count, as I call it, you know, generally today, of 0 to 1 has a very low probability of getting divorced. Whereas a woman with a notch count of 3, 4, as it escalates to 10, 12, and they stop collecting the data after 15. And by the way, it's not that uncommon for a college age woman today to have slept with 25 or more guys by the time she finishes college or university. The chances of divorce increase dramatically. And not only do the chances of divorce increase dramatically, but the chances of her being depressed, having multiple abortions, being on SSRIs, like, you can go right down the scale. Promiscuity is very, very bad for women. But that, again, is one of the lies that they've sold society, is that women can be as promiscuous as men without consequences. And that's simply not true. The data doesn't reflect that.
And you have an active channel that's not shut down, and you're saying this stuff.
Yeah, you have to be careful about the way that you have these conversations. Like, yeah, it's an interesting line that, you know, you have to walk when you have these conversations. Like, I was doing this in 2016 and 2017, you know, long before some of the like guys like Andrew Tate, you know, I'm sure your audience have probably heard of, you know, now were even making the prolific bold statements, you know, that they are still today. But it's a fine line that you have to walk to have these conversations, because when you speak the truth, it offends people. Like, bombers get flak when they're over the target, and you have to be very, very careful about when you're flying over the target.
You had said a couple of things about, you know, women in college and all, that's part of the problem nowadays with college. College is not learning anymore. It's just partying. Nothing wrong with it. You go, you binge drink, you become an alcoholic. And I think men, if you're going to look for someone who, I don't want to say virtuous or has those values, I probably wouldn't go to a bar. I probably wouldn't be on Tinder. I mean, that's just maybe one of my suggestions.
Yeah.
If you want to comment to that.
Well, but hold on. I want to keep it right there for a second, guys, because I think the interesting thing you were touching on before is there's a certain thing that women respond to. As a guy, a lot of times I joked, you know, hey, we're not that far off from the caveman. We're dragging our knuckles, hoo-hoo, aha, kind of shit, right? And so we're looking for conversion at some point in our lives, like converting a female to a companion. And I think that's the big gap, is like, we don't know how to do it. So people turn to alcohol and these other things and the easy bars and things like that. So I think the challenge is like, we don't know, as like idiot knuckle dragger cavemen, how to connect with the opposite sex. And I think you were alluding to that before, Rich. So maybe you can touch on that a little bit and then find where that intersection is to Gino's later point, because I think there's something that comes before that, and it's that connection piece.
Okay, so what do you want to deal with specifically in that statement? Because there's a few things that we
I think you know, and the way my mind works is that young men struggle to make a connection with women. We're awkward. Yeah. We have a shit ton of testosterone. Yeah. We don't really know how to do it. So there's like, how do we make that connection? Well, the bar is an easy layup. It sounds like Gino's arguing for a higher level self to make a connection and maybe like find another place to meet and entertain women. So I think it's just maybe, and it sounded like, if I'm not mistaken, you were referring to a way to get women to respond to you. So maybe starting there and then finding better places to, you know, find, you know, someone that may be a better fit for you if you do have virtue.
Jake, before Rich answers that, the question, the problem. The problem is,
dude, I can't, it was like a 5-minute question. You just cut it off.
The time out. The problem is right nowadays is there are no strong fathers right now. I've got 5 daughters.
Yes.
My daughters know how I treat them. I have a 23-year-old who just started dating and she's probably going to marry the guy because she knows how I treat her. She knows that I'll take a bullet.
Whoa, I didn't hear about this yet.
I will do anything for her.
Uncle Jake might have to step in here a little bit. It, right?
Dude, all my other daughters understand that. My son knows how I treat my wife and how I love my wife and respect my wife. So it all starts with the nuclear family, traditional values. I'm sorry. And that's what's going off the rails. And we've started with this divorce thing down the road and now it's okay. And now women got the short end of the stick because now can they rely on a man or a husband?
Ooh,
my wife can rely on
extreme ownership, Gino. Touché.
That's the problem. So, I mean, that's where it all starts. It starts with the family and with the head. And if you're a strong man and your daughter knows what you are, you're not an asshole, you're not going to walk out on her and she can rely on you, then she'll look for that mate. But there aren't that many guys out there that will stick around for the next 20 to 25 years. They're pieced out after a couple of years. So
we're gonna give our guest the floor here and see where he wants to go with this bag of shit.
I don't know. Are you guys ready to put on some seatbelts and buckle in for some cold hard truth bombs?
Make it rain.
Man, there's a lot to talk about that. So to Gino's point with, you know, fathers, that appears to be one of the major problems. You know, on Father's Day, it's not that uncommon if you're on social media to see the single mommies use Father's Day as an opportunity to say, I do the job of both parents, so I'm awesome, praise me as well. And why wouldn't they? Society has been telling, you know, single mothers for decades now, you're strong, you're independent, you don't need no man, until they need child support or until they need government handouts or until whatever, right? So they still have the opportunity to raise children, but without the authority of a man in a household. And the problem with that is that single mommy households tend to be absolute beta factories. They don't churn out strong, virtuous men, and they generally churn out promiscuous, slutty women. So here's some stats from single parent households, which are more specifically single mother households, because 80% of the time women are raising the kids when it comes to a single parent household, probably even a little bit more, maybe even close to about 85% of the time. The vast majority of the incarcerated, single parent household, the vast majority of gang activity, single parent household, vast majority of teenage pregnancies, vast majority of dropouts, vast majority of suicide attempts. You can go right down the list. Two parent households with a man and a woman produce far better members and far more useful members of society than ones that are walking around virtuously pounding their chest saying, I am awesome. Here's my offspring. Truth of the matter is the vast majority of the guys that watch my content come from single parent households. They haven't got it right. And they've been conditioned to be kind, humble, nice. These moms generally turn out weak, pussified men that try to enter the friend zone to get with the gals. And women don't want weak, pussified men. They want strong, virtuous guys. That's what they're attracted to. That's what they've always been attracted to. If you want to distill what works on the sexual marketplace as far as attraction between men and women, men compete, women choose. You want to boil it down to four, you know, a couple words, men compete, women choose. Women choose, like, you know, I've said this line many, many times and it ruffles some feathers. You know, I've always said, you know, women don't care about a man's struggle. They wait at the finish line and they bang the winners. Okay, women aren't kingmakers. They are walking around today, the vast majority of them, even if they're out of shape, obnoxious, ignorant, covered in tattoos, have short purple hair, aren't attractive physically, they still walk around thinking that they are queens. And they're not kingmakers. They're looking for a guy that's already a winner. So there's a lack of supply of strong, virtuous men. There's a lack of supply of feminine, beautiful women that strong, virtuous men want to date. So the vast majority of the guys out there are dating a lot of women simultaneously. Like it's not uncommon for successful masculine guys that understand these facts to be dating multiple women simultaneously. So women are actually being shared by these.
Are they aware of that?
Today. I think they just generally look the other way for the most part, right? You know, it's been said that a woman would rather share a high value alpha male than be straddled with a faithful loser. It's one of the reasons why, you know, you see a lot of women today that will be happier dating a successful married man rather than dating a single guy that lives in their mom's basement, right? Because there's a lot of social proof because that guy's already been chosen. So, you know, when you get into the dynamics of the way things actually work versus what we've been told and the direction that society is sort of going, it starts to get very, very complex. Like, men are suffering today. The vast majority of men are lonely, single, poor. They lack intimacy. They're mostly invisible to women. I think there was a stat.
It goes back to what I was saying about the feminist stuff, though. It's like, yes, there's the 1%, but the majority of guys, to your point, this is not some fucking party that most guys are on right now.
No, this is serious, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, this is a serious problem today. Yeah.
Wow. So what do we do?
What? There's always that. Hey, how do we fix this problem, Rich? So what's the solution?
But
that's, to all
but,
that?
But let's be honest, though. Like, so, you know, as a guy, I take it as my responsibility to fix things. Right. It's how do we make the world a better place? And I think that's probably lacking right now.
Yeah. So I think that we're pretty far down the rabbit hole when it comes to trying to fix this. Like,
but
I'm
it
off
happened
the
quick, though. Like, I'm born in the 80s. Right. Like, this seems like a much different world than the world I was brought up in.
Yeah.
That's not a long period of time.
Yeah. I was born in the 70s. I'm guessing Gino's close to my age as well. 40s. Too. Yeah. 40s. You're born in the 40s, Gino.
He looks good, man.
He looks good for the 40s. You know, good for you. No, but I was going to say, like, you know, it's essentially happened since the sexual revolution, since hormonal birth control, you know, happened.
Baby boomers
60s.
Ruined fucking everything.
Yeah. Those boomers, right?
Fucking assholes.
So it's been a long, slow process of sort of boiling the frog and accepting, you know, mediocrity and, you know, weakening and pussifying men. There's a lot of events that you can take a look at. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I'm a big car guy, obviously, you know, the name of my main YouTube channel is Entrepreneurs in Cars. And, you know, when I was a kid, like, there was masculine cars. There was cars that laid rubber, made all kinds of noise, burned tons of fuel. They look like men's cars. Somebody sent me this meme the other day from my community, and it was every single manufacturer's midsize compact SUV painted in white, all one after the other, everything from Mercedes all the way down to Kia, and they all look identical. They're boring ass beige boxes. Okay. Fortunately, we can still buy
a station wagon.
Fortunately, we can still buy our exotic cars. I've got a McLaren. I'm very happy with that. You know, I'm glad that, you know, these car manufacturers still exist, but, you know, we've gone from a distinguished sort of society with distinguished roles where men have, like, you know, blue jobs and women sort of have pink jobs. And that was okay. But for some reason, you know, society has now sold this bill a lie. Well, where that's not okay now. And, you know, it's okay for men to stay home. Do you guys remember the movie Mr. Mom back in the 80s?
Yes.
Sounds like an example. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, an example of, like, one of the things that sort of shifted and pivoted. All of the sitcom shows that I watched when I was growing up, the father was always portrayed as a bumbling idiot by Hollywood, right? They were never portrayed as a strong, virtuous male that, you know, the wife respected, the children sort of obeyed. You know, you go back to the shows that we watch, you know, in black and white from the 40s and 50s and stuff, or Leave It to Beaver era sort of thing. And some people criticize, oh, that's all a farce. That's all the patriarchy trying to control you, blah, 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 sort of thing. They've pushed well past that now. And they've pushed into an era now where society, you know, the Matrix, as you may want to call it, has
no, but like, you could go down a complete conspiracy theory here and say this is a collectivist, you know, type coup here.
Look, we don't know who's at the controls, right? Joe Biden certainly isn't at the controls.
It would lead you to believe that if you want to control people, there's a collectivist type scheme behind the scenes. We don't get super conspiracy theory here, but
aren't soft pussified men easier to control than
strong
virtuous
alpha males?
That's
the exact point that I'm making.
So, Jake, how do you get everyone in that tune together? Stand on your dots, take this experimental injection and wear a face diaper because I told you so. And the vast majority of the North American population
comply or get the fuck out of society.
Exactly. Exactly. So they've been conditioning us to become softer, more agreeable because you're easier to control. A society that is in that position is going to vote for bigger government, more taxes, less freedoms. People don't want freedom anymore. They want free shit. Like, watch the way that they vote.
FNA Cotton. Gene, I'm going to take a quick time out here from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, buy right, manage right, and finance right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we are back. Gino, I'm volleying to you because you had a question, and I don't want to skip that. Go ahead, sir.
No, it was just, I don't know where to go from here because
he's got told you had to put on your seatbelt.
He's got you on the
ropes. Weren't ready for
the G Dad's. No. You know, he's usually laughing on. You know, he's on offense here. You got him on the ropes. He's playing.
I'm
he
not,
where to go.
I'm not ready for this. Listen, Jake and I are totally on board. We didn't get the vax. We don't wear the mask. We're strong guys. We've got great families. We've got great businesses. We're thriving. I feel bad for the young guys out there right now that are struggling in their 20s and 30s that are alone. I mean, I remember when I was young, it was tough being young and being by yourself. I got lucky. I found an amazing wife. Something happened. I got lucky. And as you're talking, I can see a lot of the guys out there struggling. And not even that, they're being told that they're racist, that they're toxic. Yeah. The fuck? I mean, we're struggling as it is. You need to insult us on top of that?
I mean, well, if you want to control them, that's what you do.
Women are smarter. The women are graduating more college. They have better jobs. I mean, guys are doing tough work out there. I mean, to me, it's I don't want to say it's depressing, but it's kind of
depressing in a way. Yeah. I don't know.
It really is. I mean, the Unplugged Alpha, where can guys find the book? I mean, I think anyone listening to this, if you're out there young and you're struggling, you're not alone. And for us dads out there that are raising young adults and have sons, we need to start consuming some of this and taking our shit seriously.
Gina, hold it right there before he tells us where to get the book, and we'll keep it here for a second. So I just want to share a little bit about my experience. I feel very blessed. I had a dad that was constantly working his ass off, built houses with his hands while he worked full time. My grandfather did the same thing. They would take me out in the woods, or I'd be a labor bitch from like a very early age. And they showed me what real work looks like and what a provider does. Mm. If you are a man out there and you want to have an impact on your child's lives, do not deny them the ability to do hard work,
a hard life,
do not make it easy on them because you're not doing them any favors. I know Gino went through similar shit with his dad in the restaurant. This is the type of stuff that will produce a backbone and ultimately allow the kid, myself, out of the house at 18 and to figure shit out for themselves and then go on and produce a successful family. Do not, to his point, do not pussify these kids because you're not going to get, you're not doing them any favors. So, but please, Rich, tell us where we get the book and a little bit more where folks can find you.
Yeah. So you can find the book on Amazon. It's a bestseller. It's called The Unplugged Alpha. I'm actually in the process of writing a follow-up to that because the first one did so well. And I wanted to sort of take people a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole and not spend so much time on, getting the gals and keeping, gals in your life sort of thing. I wanted to talk about that a little bit more, but more so like money and sort of building yourself up into a man that's worth something. The other resource that I'd probably recommend you guys check out would be my podcast, which is based on the book. So the podcast is called The Unplugged Alpha. You can find it on YouTube. I think I'm 70 episodes in now. And all I'm really doing is I'm sort of building on this mindset and building on these talking points that I sort of incorporated into my first book. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about here right now, my website's richcooper.ca as well, if you want to dive into that.
So Gina, before we wrap here, I just, I'm always looking to add value to the folks. It's a big part of what we do here. So you have someone out there who may be struggling in life. They listen to the show, they find a connection towards you. Maybe they came from a single parent household and they didn't have a strong upbringing, but they see some things that they're lacking. What are some of the first steps that they can take to start to build themselves up as a man?
I think the best place to start is probably to read my book, if I'm being honest, because it sort of sets the framework, you know, the foundation, if you will, for the things that you have to build on. There's not a lot of conversations today where family, fathers, you know, society, culture will tell guys, you know, you need to become something. Like, women are born, men are made. Women's objective in life is to preserve their beauty and their value. Men's objective in life needs to be to create it. You need to become something. You need to become something for yourself, for your family, for a woman if you want to invite one into your life, or if you want to create a family and have children. You need to become a leader. You know, you need to become confident. You need to become interesting. You need to know how to maintain frame. Frame is a simple concept that we didn't even get, you know, get into in this video, for example. So something as simple as, a lot of guys let women get away with terrible behavior, which is why relationships break up. So for example, you know, hey, Jake, I'm going to go out with my girlfriends to Vegas for the weekend, you know, sort of thing. And that's a really, really bad idea. You know, girlfriends with boyfriends don't let their woman go to Las Vegas for a weekend. That's where bad shit happens. So it's a boundary that you'd have to set early on in the relationship. And you don't, you know, become abusive about it. You really just set the boundary and say, look, you know, I don't deal with women like that. I don't date women like that. I don't stay in relationships with women like that. If you want to go to Vegas with your girlfriends, go, but we're done. Right. So having something like frame in a long-term relationship, because even today, most guys can't do that.
You set an expectations, like this is the boundary. And if you're inside, we're good. If not, we're not.
It's kind of standard. Like, it's one of those things that all of our grandparents would have never said to, like, you know, one another, where your great grandmother would say, hey, I'm going to go with my girlfriends, you know, to Vegas for the weekend. You know, your great grandfather would be like, the fucking hell you are. That's just not happening on my clock. But today,
that would never be a conversation in my grandparents' life. Yeah, it just wouldn't be a thing. Yeah.
So, you know, so frame's an important part of dealing with your life on a long-term basis. So raising your standards for your relationships, raising your standards for yourself and what you're going to do, not accepting mediocre jobs, doing mediocre things, hanging out with mediocre people. A lot of the stuff I'm sure you guys have already talked about. You become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You know, the basics. I mean, start with a book is what I can say.
Gino. Dude, do I got you here? You ready to pull this thing through or what?
Jake, the biggest things that I think I've taken from the show today, I mean, I know a lot of this intuitively, but we can't blame just women out there for men's problems. It also always starts at the home. It starts with the male. It starts with your expectations. And that's one of the things I'm blessed that I met Jake as a partner, because I was struggling at the restaurant and I needed to raise my standard. I needed to raise my level. So when I met him as a partner, I would put out a lot more with him being a partner, and I'm not letting him down. And I think men, the lack of self-esteem, the lack of confidence, it comes down to, when you become a father, you need to show those and you need to usher those into your children. I'll give you a quick example, Jake. My son is in college right now, and he was sick a couple weeks ago, and he was doing his homework and he looked dreadful. And I said, Mike, I'm really proud of you. You're really sticking it in there. You're doing really great work. I know you can pack it in and do nothing on your final and just wing it. And he looks at me, he goes, Dad, that's not you. I mean, I learned from the best. You never took a day off from work. So you are their role model. They're always looking at you and mirroring what you're doing. So be careful of what you do around your children, because they're always looking. And to me, it's ultimately trying to set expectations with your significant other, with your spouse. And I love what you say. Men are success objects. Go out there and try to create success for yourself and try to really, it's been a difficult show for me, because I really do feel sad for a lot of the guys out there that are struggling. Go out there and pick up the Unplugged Alpha, start reading the book and start building yourself up, because that's what women want. They want somebody strong. Don't buy into this BS that they want a weak man. They want someone with feelings. We obviously have to have feelings, but we need to be strong and we need to be leaders.
Yeah, well said.
Well said, Gino. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's a G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.